Broken friendships, betrayal, death of a friend or a family member, injustices of the world. Maybe it's injustice. Maybe you're looking for justice and you haven't found it yet. Adultery, lust in the marriage where trust has been lost, or in a relationship where trust has been lost. Lies, deceptions, unbelieving family members, an evil world where continuously we're bombarded with sin. I do not know precisely what your issue is, but God is warning you in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. And the scripture tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So God is not only asking of you not to be weary in well-doing, but telling you that if you continue doing well, in due season you will reap if you faint not. But how easy is it not to say this when you're not going through the problem? It's very easy for me on this end to tell you not to be weary in well-doing when you're going through a difficulty that it's hard to do well. You've been wronged by many family members. You've been talked about by many friends and co-workers. You've been put in a situation where you're cornered, you're alone, you're beaten, and you're wounded. Yet the scripture still applies to you. Yet the warning still applies for you. Because he still says to you, and let us not be weary in well doing. Because that distinguishes us as believers. That separates us as a church. As one true body of Christ. A true body of Christ that is following his commandments, his instructions, and Jesus Christ as the only way. You see, the world preaches its version of unity, which is deception. Where the Pope is coming, uniting all religions as one. That's not biblical unity, according to the scriptures. That's deception, and New Age deceptions from the devil. But this is speaking to the true church of God, and you know who you are. That true church that is purchased by the blood of Christ. You see, God wants to use you. But the devil wants to abuse you. God wants to use you in well-doing. Because when you do well, it glorifies the Father. The devil wants to taint you. The devil wants to paint a picture in your mind that you're this victim, that you've been abused, that you've been this, that you've been that, and that you need to now stop doing the things that God commanded you to do. But God tells you, do not grow weary. James 1:22 tells us, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Quite often we can deceive ourselves and we can say, well, I'm not going to talk to that person because that person did this to me. I'm not going to forgive that person because that person did this to me. You're deceiving yourself, but you're not deceiving God. The many busybodies that go visit local congregations and are there to spread strife and are there to nitpick and are there to cause destruction. On the exterior, they smile, they offer help, they look so loving. But in the interior, evil workers of iniquity, aiming at strife, aiming at destruction. And it's so hard sometimes to contain yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to handle this myself. I'm going to handle this in the flesh. But God says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Does this mean that you're not going to correct the person when they're doing wrong? No, that's not what I'm saying. Does this mean that you're not going to tell a person to repent? That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is do not allow the world to change you. Allow Christ, who is living within you, to change the world via you and your actions. Allow Christ to mold your character. If you have a bad temper, allow Christ to mold that temper? Are you easily triggered? Allow Christ to mold you and break you and make you new. And the devil is fighting against that. You see, the devil is fighting against you living a holy life for God. The devil is continuously bombarding you with demonic thoughts, with demonic lust, with demonic thoughts of principalities, which destroys many relationships, which destroys many marriages by telling you that the grass is greener on the other side. You get to the other side, and you realize you've been used and abused by the devil. But do not grow weary. If you've had a spouse that has betrayed your trust, if you've had a boyfriend that's betrayed your trust, if you have a friend that's betrayed your trust, do not grow weary. Does this mean that you're going to simply let somebody run you over? No, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm telling you to guard your heart. For the devil can deceive your very thoughts and convince you that it's okay to do the wrong thing. But James 1:22, like I just read, says it, deceiving your own selves. And James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doth it not, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. To him it is sin. And sometimes you have all the right reasons to do the wrong thing. You've conjured up your mentality and you say, you know what? No, vengeance is, I know that God says his vengeance is of the Lord, but you know what? I'm going to take vengeance right now. I'm not going to let this happen to me no more. And according to the world standards, you may be right in doing what you're doing. Yet God is telling you not to do that. God is telling you to forgive. God is telling you to love. God is telling you to be a charitable person. We have an example here of a judge. And this is an older clip here, but I thought it was fitting. How this judge, by the law of the land, had every right to prosecute this woman. But notice how patient he was and how he asked a lot of questions. Sometimes as disciples of Christ, we don't ask enough questions. We make judgments based on people's external appearances. This is why the Word of God says, because of the iniquities of this world, the love of many will grow cold. I'm paraphrasing, of course. The iniquities of this world can ruin your heart. The iniquities of this world can ruin you from doing well-doing. Because you've had 100 bad experiences. And you already feel that everyone is the same way. And one thing is to have discernment. But another is to have wounds inside of your heart that you're not allowing God to heal. Do not let the devil change you. God wants to use you. Remember, the devil wants to abuse you. Take a look at this judge.
Andrew, you have 4 different registrations. You have 5 tickets that go back to 2004, 2005, and 2006. Can you prosecute those tickets?
No, Your Honor, not from 04, 05. We won't even have copies of those, Your Honor.
Those matters are going to be dismissed.
I wasn't aware of them. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well,
Thank you.
The issue isn't whether you are aware of them. The issue is whether or not they were placed on the vehicle, and they
yeah.
were. At the time, you were living on 9th Street in Woonsocket. We're keeping track of you. Then you got a ticket on Friendship Street in 2008. That was a parking meter on Friendship Street. That's going to cost you $25. Then you have a parking meter in 2014 on Friendship Street. It's going to cost you $25. So far you're doing pretty good because all you got is $50. And now you have 4 parking tickets.
Are you talking about the most recent ones?
Most
now?
Recent ones, right.
All right. The one on the Nissan. Yeah, the one on 11-1, I went to Social Security because they had cut my check. Because my son was recently killed last year. So they cut my check because
Who?
He had owed money.
Who?
My son was killed March of last year, right? So I was his rep payee. So they took my money because he had owed money. So I had to go to Social Security to fix that matter. When I came out, I had a ticket. Then another time on the 5th, the parking meter wasn't working. I have the picture for that. On 1-4, I was at court because my landlord was trying to evict me. So I was at eviction court. Come out, I got a ticket. Mind you, he won possession of the apartment, so I had to move. So I got a ticket, he won possession of the apartment. Then I get another one because I tried to go to the legal services to try to get help to fix this. I go get some change out of Dunkin' Donuts, come out, I got a $100 ticket.
What was the,
I keep winning.
What was the situation with the mix-up in Social Security with your son?
My son was killed last year, March of last year. They said that he owed $75 of overpayment from May of 2016. Mind you, he was already deceased at that time. So what they did was they stopped my whole check until I went in there to fix the problem. So when I came out, I had a parking ticket.
All right,
I've had a tough year already. I'm on SSDI. I don't have $400 to give you on top of whatever else. I really do. I just had to come up with money for a new apartment. I'm still paying Russell and Boyer for my son's funeral. Like, I don't know where this money's supposed to come from. I wish I would have got my brother that night and he wouldn't have killed my son. That's why my son's gone. And I'm just really having a tough time, Your Honor.
I think we can all express our sympathy to you and understand the trauma that you have experienced.
I'm still going back and forth to court for that. There's still emotions and
I'm going to take all of the circumstances that you just have explained to me into consideration and see if I can balance the equities to protect the interests of the city and take into consideration, you know, the horrific story that you just told us relative to your son. I don't think anyone in their lifetime would ever want to experience that, so.
It's the worst feeling in the world. I feel so empty, Lord.
I'm going to reduce this to $50. How much time do you need to pay it?
I have it on me now.
All right. That's not going to leave you without any money, is it?
I'll leave it with $5. Thank you, Your Honor.
I'm not going to leave you with $5. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to dismiss everything.
Thank you.
All right. With our best wishes and hope that things turn around good for you. Okay.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Good luck to you.
In 1 Samuel 24, and I recommend you read the entire chapter. I'll put the Bible verses below this video on a King James Version link. We see that there was a point in time, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, read the whole thing, that Saul was looking for David. And I'll read verse 2 and 3. And then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Here Saul is looking to kill David, and David is there hiding. And look at what happens here. All of a sudden, Saul shows up, and it would have been very easy for David to kill Saul. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. In your life, in my life, there are going to be people that are going to even use the word of God to convince you that it's okay to do wrong. It happened to Jesus Christ. It happened to David. And it's happened to many of us. I've seen many ministers, quote unquote, prophesy to people that it's okay for them to divorce. instead of forgive, and allow God to work in that marriage. I've seen many people use the word of God with philosophy to cause people to sin. And it sounds good. It sounds scriptural. But it's simply philosophy. It's simply cherry picking Bible verses to justify you not doing well doing. So here comes David. He cuts off a piece of Saul's robe. And it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him. Conviction came in the picture. He had cut off Saul's skirt and he felt conviction from God. It wasn't God's will for David to have vengeance upon himself. So in verses 8 of this chapter, we see that David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Long story short, they reconciled. It ended up in verse number 16 of that chapter. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And let us not be weary in well doing." David had a man that was looking for his head and was going to kill him. Yet that conviction from God changed him and challenged him. When God convicts you, trust God. Trust that conviction. You see, David could have said, "God, I trust your conviction, but if I go out there to talk to him, he's going to kill me." David would have preferred to die, but be in right standing with God, than to live and be in the wrong side of God. You see, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I don't know who this message is for today, on your end. Maybe you're the person causing evil upon another person, and that person has only demonstrated well-doing upon your life. Maybe you're that person who has been doing the evil works towards people, and people have been demonstrated well-doing towards you regardless. Maybe you're Saul today. If you've been Saul, repent. Repent. That well-doing that someone has been doing upon your life that you've been abusing, in due season, you too will reap for your evil works on this earth. Taking advantage of your family, taking advantage of your friends, taking advantage of your co-workers. Gossiping, busybodying, and everyone's business and affairs, not minding your own business. Causing all sorts of havoc. You may think that you're doing okay, you fooled yourself, repent. But maybe also I'm speaking to a lot of Davids here today. You've been wounded, you've been hurt. You've been betrayed, you've been abused by church leaders to the point that you don't trust anybody. You're hurt. Deep down inside, you're hurt. You don't want to admit it, but you're hurt. I've been there. And I am there sometimes. But let us not grow weary. And let us be transparent and honest and integral today with God. That judge could have put that woman in jail if he wanted to, if he was a corrupt, evil judge. And I'm not saying he's perfect by all means, I don't know the man. But he had mercy. He had mercy. Today, God has had mercy upon your life. You've broken every law. You've broken the commandments. You may say, "I'm living holy now," and that's a good thing. I applaud you. I try to live holy every day. But at some point in time in your life, you've fallen short. And according to the commandments and the laws, you were guilty. But there was one who delivered you. If Christ could forgive you when you repented, if Christ could have purchased you, how is it that we can't show the same charity, forgiveness, love, towards others? "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." 2 Thessalonians 3:13. I've had to forgive a lot of people in my life who've done horrible, horrible things. Was it easy? No. Did it set me free afterwards? Yes. Am I freer today than then? Yes. Does the devil sometimes use what they did to me and remind me of it? So that I can have my own little argument of what I would say. If they say this, I'm going to say that. If they say that, I'm going to say this. Oh yeah, the devil is always at work. But just remember who you're dealing with. The father of all lies. He aims to abuse you, destroy you, ruin your life. God aims to build you up. God aims at restoring you, renewing your mind, and using you to do good. Not so that you can glorify yourself, but so that when people see you, they wonder, who is this person? How is God using this person? They used to be an alcoholic. They used to be a drug addict. They used to be an evil, vindictive person, but something's happened to them. They've been made brand new. And then you'll be like, it wasn't me, it was Christ. And because Christ has forgiven me, I will forgive others. And because Christ has not stopped being good to me, I won't stop being good to others. I will start loving my wife as she deserves. I will start loving my children as they deserve. Sometimes we can be very hard on our children. Sometimes we can be very hard on our spouses. Wife to spouses, to the men. Men to the women. In relationships. So many have been wounded to the point that they don't want to know about anything else. Let God heal you. Let God renew you. Let God restore you. God is faithful. I'm sorry for rambling here, but this is something that God has been dealing with me even. And God has been healing me consistently. And as I apply it to my life, I share it with you so that you can use it and apply it to your life and share it with others. Remember that I love you guys very, very much, and it is my desire that through these videos, you can share them with your friends and families, you can be edified, and that even one person gets saved. Just one, for the glory of God. Remember that on our website, you can download these videos for free. We have them on podcast format as well. And on Thursdays, we have a live chat at 11:30 p.m. Feel free to visit us there. And thank you for watching these. Thank you for sharing these. Thank you for being a brother and a sister in the Lord. Keep me in prayer. I go through a lot of stuff just like you guys go through a lot of stuff. And it's very easy for me to quit. It's very easy for me to give up, even on people sometimes. But you know what? Let us not grow weary. Let us keep on having the charity, the love, the honor, the integrity that God commands us to have. If that earthly judge was able to do it, how much more you who's bought by the blood of Christ? There's a hurting world out there, and yes, I know that you're also hurting, but you have a Messiah who right now you can go to and bow your knees to God. Grab your husband's hands, grab your child's hands. Cry before God if you have to. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what wounds do you have within you. Maybe you were raped. Maybe you were abused. I don't know the wounds that you have in your life. Maybe you were raped. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you had a husband who left you for another woman. A woman who left you for another man. A pastor who spiritually abused you. Spiritual manipulation. Maybe fallen angels are destroying your life and you have demonic entities attacking your home. In Jesus' name, we rebuke and we renounce the devil. We rebuke and we renounce his demonic ways in the name of Jesus. Right there where you're at. In the name of Jesus, we renounce all witchcraft from our life. We renounce unforgiveness from our lives. We renounce hate. That hate that we've been harboring even from childhood. In the name of Jesus, Father, I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you in the name of Jesus, Father. Forgive me and help me forgive others. I want to give up, God. Help me so that I do not give up, God. I want to quit, God. In the name of Jesus, break me if you have to, God. Build me back up, God. I want to be set free. I want to have peace. I want to do well. In Jesus' name. I love you, my family. God bless you greatly. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for any support. Thank you for just being who you are. In Jesus' name.